welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
Second Corinthians. Let's go look at some scriptures. Would you do that with me? Second Corinthians chapter 4, 13. Yet we have the same spirit, say spirit, of faith. So what does that tell you about faith? Faith, say faith, is the spirit. Now listen, here's the key to confession, the language of faith. It's right here. Listen to what this says. If we don't do this, faith will never operate in our lives. Listen, I have believed, and therefore I have spoken. There it is. That's the key. What do? You believe it. And then once you believe it, what do you say? Speak it out of your mouth. Say, I believe. It's a 1-2 punch. First you believe it. Where do you believe it? In your heart. See, my faith, unless it's challenged, will never grow. If your faith isn't challenged, it can't grow. When Mark 4 talks about those who have the word but don't have a root, it refers to a new believer. But yet there are people that have been saved for years and have never had their faith challenged, and it never grows, and the same thing happens to them. They fall away. Your faith grows only when it's challenged. Can anybody come here and tell you that Jesus didn't die on the cross of Calvary? Anybody? That's how sure you have to be about the things of God. Have that kind of faith that's immovable. When your faith is challenged, the root goes deeper. It goes deeper. My wife and I sometimes talk about all the challenges we've had in ministry, and most of those things could have taken us out. But I want to tell you something, man. You grab a hold of this book called the Word of God, and you start saying what you believe. It's in your heart and it's rooted. Guess what? Bring the challenges on. Why? Because the Word of God is supreme. Say, we've got the same spirit of faith. As he who wrote, I have believed, say, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We too believe, and therefore we speak. Listen to the next verse. Assured that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise up also with Jesus and bring us along with you into his presence. Say, what do you do first? Say this with me now. You do what? First you believe. That means you say what God's word says, whether we understand it or not. My favorite illustration is always who? Mary. After she hears everything that the angel Gabriel says, and what's her response? I don't understand it. How many times have you not understood something when you're discouraged? You have not understood something when someone preached the word to you. You read something in scripture and you just didn't understand it. But then Mary says something we all need to say. I don't understand the word. I don't understand these circumstances. It doesn't make sense to me. But nevertheless, say nevertheless. Remember when the disciples were fishing? What did he tell them to do? Throw the net on the other side. That makes absolutely no sense. But what did they do? They believed it and they spoke to one another. Get those nets on the other side. And what happened? The nets were full to the point where the ship almost sank. They had to call other people to help. If you stop to figure it out, it won't happen. But if you believe, because when Jesus spoke to heaven, he knew he'd get a response. Because he believed, the Father sent him on a mission. And his mission that day was to feed the people spiritually food and also feed them in the natural. He could have done it with just empty baskets. What's impossible with God? Say nothing. There's no circumstance. There's no difficulty. There's nothing that can come your way or my way that if I don't believe God's word, I will see God's result. My God, somebody help me here. Listen to me. I'm talking into your inner man, into your spirit man. That you can't live in the natural anymore in this day and age we're living in. You've got to develop a faith that is so strong and so sturdy that no wind, no propaganda, no doubt, no discouragement can come and knock your faith over. Your faith will stand strong like David did before Goliath. He said, bring them on. Understand the principle that David talked to Goliath and he said, this day I'm going to have your head. Now, how do you take a head off of somebody with just a stone? He had such confidence in the word that he knew he'd be using Goliath's sword to take his head off. Say this one with me. Your faith and your mouth need to be connected. Let's go to another scripture verse. Are you ready? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Then let's go to number 8 too. But what does it say? The word, God's message in Christ, is near you, on your lips, in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis and object of what? Faith that we preach. Listen, 9. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and in your heart believe, there's those two words again. What are they? Believe and say it. Believe, say believe and say it. Believe and say it. Believe in your heart means to adhere to trust in, and rely on the truth. There is a tremendous attack for years, and it's gotten worse, where trust isn't something readily found anymore. Trust is inviolated so many times that people just don't trust. It's not about trusting government or trusting somebody. The whole plan is to get you and I and the world to have no trust in this book called the precious Word of God. People turn from God because they can't trust. Somebody said, we'll do this, and somebody said, we'll do this, and somebody said, we'll do this, and they never do it. The lies that have been perpetrated have attacked trust, have attacked truth. They can attack all they want. I'm not going to stop believing it. This is the only message that will get people saved and out of hell and into heaven. That's it. It's the book. Can I go a little further now? Faith, say faith, is born out of the revelation of what God has already done. It's not that he's going to do it. He's already done it. When we have faith, we don't have faith in what God's going to do. He's already done it. We may see the manifestation of what he's already done, but I believe it's already done even before I get there. Mary, you're going to have a baby, but it's going to be by the Holy Ghost. I'm a virgin. How can I have a baby? You're going to have a baby, and the Holy Ghost is going to get you pregnant. You wonder why she said, I don't understand this. Wouldn't you, if an angel came to you, if you were a woman and said, you're going to get pregnant, but it won't be by your husband, the Holy Ghost is going to do it. See, God is looking for a place to deposit not the impossible, but the possible in our hearts. We've got to take the im and knock it off the possible. God is not looking to do the impossible because he's already done everything and it's already possible, but we need faith to go get it out of the safety deposit box. Glory! You realize everything in this property was put on a napkin and then it was handed to an architect and I had to decipher to the architect what it was I drew. Nobody puts napkins in front of me. They're afraid. I get a napkin, I get wild. I see a napkin, give me a pen. No, don't give him a pen. He's drawing something. You better believe it. Because my faith is waiting for the opportunities to come, not about putting buildings up, but to do exactly what God says to do. My God, I'm so hooked up to this thing. Listen to me now. Look at verse 10. For with the heart, a person believes, they adhere to, they trust in, and rely on Christ. And so it is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God. Remember, justified means what? Just as if you had never sinned. Listen now, it gets better. And with the mouth he confesses and declares openly and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. How does salvation come? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, than confessing with your mouth that he has died for your sins and you ask him into your heart. 1 Peter 2:24. We all know this scripture, but listen to it. Listen to it with a heart of belief and confession. My God. He personally bore our sins of his own body and on the tree as an altar and offered himself on it, that we might die and cease to exist to sin and live to righteousness. And it's interesting that the last part of this verse is not a verse by itself, but we quote it as if it's a verse by itself. The Bible in James says, we hear people say this all the time, resist the devil and he'll flee. It's not a scripture verse. The whole verse is, first, submit yourselves therefore to God. If you do that, then you can resist him and he'll flee. We can't take portions of the scripture or a little bit here and a little bit there and make up our own little package. It's interesting that the Word of God places, listen to this again now, he places at the end of this, by his wounds or by his stripes, you've been healed. Well, why would he put that there and not have a separate verse? Here's why. If we're living in sin, if we're not living for God, we make it difficult for us to receive all the promises of God. Because the enemy will browbeat us and tell us it's never going to happen. How can God heal you when you're living like this and doing this? And he's going to try to negate healing in your body. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says that Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. So if you and I know the truth, if we know Jesus, who is the truth, he can't tell us a lie because I know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Paul, you don't mind if I use this illustration again? I've used it so many times, but it just comes into my spirit. Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't even know what grade he was in, but he came home and he had detention. I said, why'd you get detention, son? Because the teacher said I threw something. Am I right? Dad, I'm telling you the truth. I didn't do it. So I went to school and got the principal and called the teacher in and stuff in the study hall. I talked to the principal first. Paulie, did you throw this thing? No, I did not. Well, the report says he did. Paulie, did you throw this? I haven't said to the principal a couple times. No. I said, bring the teacher, and I want to talk to him. So the teacher comes in, read the thing, and I looked, and I said, did you see him throw this? Yes. Paulie, did you throw this? No. So I looked at the principal. I said, one of these two people is lying, and it's not my son. How could I stand in such bold confidence? Because I know that I know that I know. Did you actually see him throw this thing across the room? No, but it came from his direction. And the principal said, what? And said, you can leave. I'll talk to you later. Why? Because I know that I know that I know that my boys were taught, don't lie. If you do something, own up to it. I know that I know that I know this is the Word of God. It's the truth of God's Word, and it's not going to let me down, and I'm going to proclaim it with every fiber of my being. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the enemy can say, well, I saw you do that. No, you didn't, because you're a liar. And when you confront him with the lie, he'll say, well, it came from that direction. Get out of here, you lying thief.
This is Pastor Carolyn Tabano. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. If today's program has encouraged you and you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please send all correspondence and financial contributions to Harvest Church, 303 Grooms Road, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. If you'd like to download today's message and view our complete media library, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. Until next time, remember that you too can be sold out for Jesus because Jesus is alive.